panic in society. Therefore all the sages began to talk amongst themselves. Since the king is dead, and there is no protector in the world, misfortune may befall the people in general on account of rogues and thieves. Please repeat. In those days, there were various disturbances in the country that were creating a panic in society. Therefore, all the sages began to talk amongst themselves. Since the king is dead and there is no protector in the world, misfortune may befall the people in general on account of rogues and thieves. Purport. Whenever there is disturbance in the state or a panic situation, the property and lives of the citizens become unsafe. This is caused by the uprising of various thieves and rogues. At such a time, it is to be understood that the ruler or the government is dead. All these misfortunes happened due to the death of King Dana. Thus the saintly persons became very anxious for the safety of the people in general. The conclusion is that even though saintly persons have no business in political affairs, they are always compassionate upon the people in general. Thus, even though they are always aloof from society, out of mercy and compassion, they consider how the citizens can peacefully execute their rituals and follow the rules and regulations of Anasramdharma. That was the concern of the sages. In this age of Kali, everything is disturbed. Therefore, saintly persons should take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, as recommended in the Shastras. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama eva kevalam. Kalo nisteva, 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 gatiranyata. Both for spiritual and material prosperity, everyone should devotedly chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Amirnath Mananda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshin Militami Nantasmai Shigarave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Ina Bhutale Svaramupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapatantikam. So, before we begin, there's about 50 people absent today that were here yesterday. So everyone else, you can come very close. Otherwise, it's rather impersonal. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. That's much better. Thank you very much. Please allow me to introduce myself briefly. I'm not widely known amongst the society, especially here in India. My name is Dhaneshwar Das. I began reading Prabhupada's books in 1972 in Gainesville, Florida, and the next year, in 1973, joined Prabhupada's movement. I have a master's degree in metallurgical science and nuclear engineering. While in Prabhupada's movement, I've served as temple president, vice president, treasurer. I worked for Spiritual Sky. I was production manager for BBT. Of course, I did book distribution and Harinam Sankirtan, like everybody else. In more recent years, the last 4 years, I've been living in Ukraine and preaching there, preaching throughout Eastern Europe. And during that time, I've been writing my book on spiritual economics, which I've just finished. The title of that book is Lessons in Spiritual Economics from the Bhagavad Gita. It's in two parts. The first part is understanding and solving the economic problem. So, let me get to know you a little bit. How many of you are devotees for more than 10 years? And between 5 and 10 years? Between 1 and 5 years? And less than 1 year? Okay, sorry. How many of you are married and have children and have a job? Nobody? Okay. Hare Krishna. This verse, this, whoever's controlling this, we can turn it down just a little bit. turn down the volume on the microphone? Just a little, huh? These stories that we're reading now in the Bhagavatam, particularly about King Venu, and oftentimes, especially also in the 8th canto, where we read similar stories where the challenges down, not up, between the devotees and the demigods, we have a tendency left. We have a tendency to think of these kind of stories as something that happened long, long time ago. Actually, this is not the case at all. The situation that's being described here in the Bhagavatam, in this story, for example, is taking place right now on this planet. Because the leaders of society, the world's leaders, are similar, if not worse, than King Venu. Like King Venu, we were reading earlier how King Venu, after he became king, he stopped all the sacrifice to Vishnu. He said, don't worship Vishnu, worship me, I'm the king. He's saying, I'm the king, the supreme personality of Godhead, you should worship me. This situation is not different from what's going on in the world today. The world leaders have very effectively stopped sacrifice. When I ask how many of you are married and have a job, there's no hands. So the question is, where are all the married devotees? Why are they not here, engaged in performing sacrifice by hearing the Bhagavatam? The answer is, they've been given something else to do by the powers that be. They have to go to work. They have to earn a livelihood, and they have to get money. The situation that you have here is practically repeated in every one of our temples throughout the world. In Alachua, Florida, our largest community in America, there's maybe 1,500 devotees. And out of 1,500 devotees, how many come to Mangalarti? Approximately 40. And out of those 40 or 50 devotees, half of them are Gokula students. There was one devotee who remarked in Bhagavatam class that the only ones who can attend the morning program are those who are either independently wealthy or those who are doing full-time service, engaged in the temple and being supported by the temple. Everyone else, they have to go get money. So, who arranged this way to live, in which everyone has to go get money so early in the day? Did this happen by chance? Is it some kind of just natural evolution of things that we have a society structured the way it is right now? No. The fact is that since the advent of Western civilization, meaning since the advent of the Rakshasas on this planet, they strenuously endeavored to control people. The nature of the demoniac personality is that they are very envious of the Supreme Lord, in fact, envious of everyone. They think that they themselves should be worshipped, that they themselves should be the center of all activities, and everything should be done for their benefit. In previous times, in the stories that we read in the Bhagavatam, there were very powerful personalities who by their own personal prowess could bring things to that situation. Hiranyakashipu, for example, was able to conquer all the three worlds, to engage the demigods in his personal service, to occupy the throne of Indra and enjoy royal opulence. Of course, the demons, the Rakshasas in this Kali Yuga, they are not so powerful. But but nonetheless, to the best of their ability, which is significant, they are engaged in doing the same thing. So you can trace this history out, particularly through Western history, with the beginning of the Greek and the Roman civilization, where at that time they attempted to bring people under their control by the use of the sword. They were able to extend their influence over a good part of the world at that time. But, you know, this sword business is, it's a lot of work. You know? And in the process, you can get killed. So, there was one emperor, Constantine, about 300 AD. At that time, Constantine, or the Roman Empire, was engaged in killing the so-called Christians. The Christians at that time, the story of what they say is Christians were not actually Christians, but they were followers of Sanatana Dharma, the eternal religion. And the demoniac kings, they wanted to stop anybody else from worshiping anybody but themselves. So they were busy persecuting and killing the followers of Sanatana Dharma. But then King Constantine, Emperor Constantine, he was looking at the situation and he thought, look at these people. They're so strong in their beliefs that they would rather give up their life than surrender their beliefs. Therefore, instead of trying to control people by the sword, why don't we try to control them by belief? So Constantine went to the then head of the Roman Church. His name was Sylvester, Pope Sylvester. And he said, let's make a deal. I'll make the official religion, I'll make Christianity the official religion of the entire Roman Empire. Everyone, and of course that occupied most of the known world at that time, with the exception of North Persia. Everyone will have to become a Christian, or else we will kill them. But I have one condition in order to establish this. He said, that condition is, you allow me to name the next pope. So Sylvester thought about it, and he thought, well, that's one way of spreading the religion, right? Okay, we'll go for it. So they did that. Christianity then became the official religion of the Roman Empire, and anyone who was not willing to convert to Christianity was killed. Still, the followers of Sanatana Dharma did not convert, and they continued to be persecuted. Now, who did Sylvester name as the next pope? Why did he create such a condition? What he did was name one of his own kind as the next pope. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes a very insightful article. He published in Sajjana Toshini in 1932. This article is titled Putana. This article explains that the best chance of irreligion or atheism to survive in this cursed age of Kali is in the convenient guise or disguise of religion. So that's what we had. We had a situation, particularly in the Roman Catholic Church, where the demoniac were in charge of the church. And if you read the history of the church, you will see that these popes, rather than being actually saintly leaders, were some of the most low-grade, disgusting beings on this planet, engaging in all kinds of sinful activity. But nonetheless, they were controlling the world by belief. And it went on fairly successfully for approximately 1,000 years. Still, their control was not complete. They wanted more. They wanted greater control. So approximately 500, 600 years ago, they had a better idea. A better idea in which they could make the control more complete. They created this concept called money. And they decided that everybody would be able to survive only by getting money. The very special characteristic of money is that they control it. A very small number of people control how money is issued, how it is controlled, and so on. So at that time then they arranged for people to be driven off of the land throughout the world. This process has been going on practically since that time. They were driving the people off the land. They've actually passed a law at that time that people could have, they could not own enough land in which they could grow sufficient food to maintain themselves. In other words, they could not own enough land to allow them to be independent. They must have a job. This continued through, as the world continued to develop in Americas in the last century. In the 1930s, for example, still 50% of the people were living on the land. But it became the policy of the United States government to drive the people off the land and into the cities. And so as a result of the policies of the government, 2,000 farms every week for 50 years either went out of business or were sold. 2,000 farms every week for 50 years, amounting to some 5 million farms. So now we have the situation in America where 97% of the people live on 3% of the land. So in this way they control people, because if you live in the city, there's no way to survive unless you have a job. And who owns those means of production? They do. They created this concept called the corporation, in which certain shareholders, they own a corporation, and they're the ones who benefit from the activity of the corporation. So the corporation, the purpose of it, is simply to make money, not for anything else. So this is how, this is the situation that we have today. Everybody has a job, and therefore the sacrifice is effectively stopped. People, they are not able, even our own devotees, we're not able to have proper sadhana, to maintain our Krishna consciousness nicely, because they have to get a job, because they have to go to work. Now, I have experience of this also. I've only been wearing saffron for the last 1 year. Prior to that, I had a family. I raised 3 children. And I have a lot of experience how, by chanting Hare Krishna in the morning, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you lift your consciousness up nice and high, but then you have to go to work. And then you have to associate with people who are not devotees. You have to share in their values. You have to actually associate with them on their level. And the result of this is that the consciousness comes down, down, down. So the process is not effective. It's like trying to light a fire by pouring water on it. You have nice sadhana in the morning, or some sadhana, and then you go to work and associate with those people, and you cannot maintain your Krishna consciousness. This is not what Prabhupada intended for us to do. Prabhupada wanted that his grihasthas establish an independent way of life based on land and the cow, so that they would not have to sacrifice their Krishna consciousness simply in order to survive. He didn't intend that we continue to go on living in this same way ad infinitum. In other words, what we have now in our Krishna consciousness movement is not the final expression of what this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to be. Prabhupada had every intention of creating a alternative culture, a culture, a spiritual culture, that whose economic support came from the land and from the cow, where people would derive their sustenance directly from the land without having to associate with people they do not want to associate with, without having to, by that association, adopt materialistic values and become confused in their spiritual life. Because that's what's going on. We have a situation where our devotees, they live in two cultures. Well, it's like going on the sea, right? You put one foot in each boat. Not a very stable situation. Very easily you fall into the sea. But we put one foot in the dominant culture, the dominant atheistic culture, we put the other foot in the Krishna culture, and in this way we are trying to survive somehow. We have to have one foot in that culture for our material maintenance, and we put the other foot in the Krishna culture for our spiritual life. This is an incompatible situation. This is not what we are meant to be doing. For the time being, of course, what can be done? We cannot immediately pick up and just all move to the village. That's not possible. But we need to prepare. We need to understand Prabhupada's vision, his full vision for the future of humanity. Not simply to introduce this temple worship of Radha and Krishna, or Nitai, not simply to introduce the chanting of the Maha Mantra, but to introduce an entire culture that gives people an alternative way of living. Right now there is no alternative. There is no alternative, because unless you have money, you cannot survive. Everyone, somehow or other, they have to find money. And in this way, the demons and rakshasas, they are controlling the entire society. Shishi Gauri Tai Ki Jai, Shishi Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shishi Radha Vasudhi Hari Ki Jai. So the demons, they are very clever. They understand exactly what to do, how to control people, so that they can suck your energy. And without people even knowing. People simply think, this is normal. This is the way things are. Right? Nothing wrong with it at all. But we don't read this in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita do not tell us anywhere, go get a job and work for somebody else. It doesn't say that. Rather, again and again and again, it says that people should live independently on the land. The reason is because that way of life gives sufficient time for devoting to self-realization. Time, which is a very scarce commodity in modern society. The biggest problem people have in modern society is not enough time. They're spending 2 hours going to and from work, 8, 9 hours, 10 hours at work, 2 hours on the way back. What time is left? Practically nothing. A little time to watch television. That's all. So in this way, the world is being controlled. Now, the sages, they understood what was going on. When King Venu, a few slokas ago we were reading, King Venu was saying, no, you should worship me. Don't be envious of me. I'm the king. I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Don't be envious of me. Worship me. The sages, when they heard that, immediately they said, kill him. Because by his actions, in no time this entire world will be turned to ashes. The rulers of modern society, particularly in my country, America, are no different than King Venu. And by their actions, the world is being turned to ashes, or even less. What's the solution to the problem? Well, first let's understand the problem in more detail. The first problem is that we have to try to find a way of surviving by making money. They control the money. By allowing money into society, there can be a good economy, everybody can prosper. But if they don't allow money, or sufficient money, then there is what we call a recession or a depression, economic problems. So right now we have such problems. We have a global economic crisis. This didn't happen by chance. They've been working very hard for the last 20, 30 years to put all the pieces together so that they could create a global economic crisis. Now, why would they want to do that? If they're the beneficiaries of all the economic activity, why would they then want to create a global economic crisis? Because they're demons, first reason. Because due to the overwhelming influence of Tamagun, they don't know how to do things properly. They know how to do things in very destructive and demoniac ways. So they've created this economic crisis because they want to change the way we live in the world. Like I said, 500 years ago, they created the present way of living. It's been going on now nicely for some time. But the means are there for even greater control than they have now. And so therefore they want to change the way things work. And to do that, they introduce crises. Also, of course, they've arranged the way that they can profit from the crises as well. All the, we hear that the stock market lost trillions of dollars in value, actually it didn't lose that value. Rather, that wealth was transferred to other individuals. So they're very clever how they arrange these things. There's no time to go into details how this works, but it's a fact. Now, what do they want to do? They want to create a situation in which everyone becomes much greater slaves. Right now, people still have some freedom. People still are enjoying in different ways according to their capacity and ability. But we have to understand that the leaders of the world, being Rakshasas, are envious. And they don't want anybody to be happy. In fact, they're even happier if people suffer. There is a Polish psychologist, his name is Andrew Lebowski. He was working during the Soviet communism in Poland, and he made a study of the leaders of society, and he came to a conclusion that all of the leaders of society are what are known as psychopaths. So this word psychopath means it's not a condition of mental ill health. In other words, these people are not crazy. Psychopath basically means a person without a conscience. This means a person who has lost their connection to the supersoul. They have no conscience, no understanding what's right and what's wrong. What's right or wrong is simply what they want to do. What they want to do is right, and anything else, that's wrong. Such people, they lie, they can kill, they steal, they do any manners of what normal people would consider sinful and terrible things without any problem at all. So the publisher of this book that he wrote is called Political Pornology, the Science of Evil Applied to Political Processes, something like that. He very frankly says that the leaders of the world are psychopaths. And he says that this is the greatest problem in the world today. This is the same problem that we're studying here with King Venu. King Venu, a demoniac king who is interested only in his own self-gratification, in his own worship. And what did the sages at that time decide? Kill him. He should be removed because if he's allowed to stay, he will turn the whole world to ashes. So this is what's going on today. The leaders call them psychopaths or call them rakshasas. The same thing. They are bent on the destruction of the world and enslavement of people. What's the solution to this problem? Prabhupada states it very clearly here in the commentary. That the saintly persons, they become very anxious for the safety of people in general. And the conclusion is that even though the saintly persons have no business in political affairs, they are always compassionate upon the people in general. Thus, even though they are always aloof from society, out of mercy and compassion, they consider how the citizens can peacefully execute their rituals and follow the rules and regulations of Vanashram Dharma. This was the concern of these sages. In the Kali Yuga, everything is disturbed. Therefore, the saintly person should take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, as recommended in the Shastra. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nisteva, nisteva nisteva, gatiranyata. Both for spiritual and material prosperity, everyone should devotedly chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So there are other people who are beginning to share this opinion with Andrew Lebowski, that the biggest problem the world now faces is the psychopaths. Some time ago, about a decade ago, or a little more, some people, they were saying that the problem in the world was the corporations. The corporations were engaged in very, what do we call it? We called it casino capitalism, vulture capitalism, predatory economics. They could see that the world, the economics of the world is run amok. It's creating problems, not actually allowing people to live nicely. So some people, they concluded that the problem was the corporation. Let's get rid of the corporations. But what they fail to understand is that there is no such thing as a corporation. That's a figment of imagination. It's a legal concept. It has no reality in fact. There are only people. There's people in charge of these corporations, people who would act in the name of corporations, people in charge of governments, people who act in the name of governments. And these people, they are not human. They're demoniac. So what's the solution? Harinama, 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 eva kaivalam, kalo nisteva, 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 gatiranyata. The only solution is chanting the holy names of the Lord. In the 8th canto, there are several encounters with the demigods, with the demons. And in both those encounters, when the demigods become frustrated in their ability to counteract the influence of the demons, they say, now is the time to go to Lord Vishnu and appeal to Vishnu for his help. So, the same thing applies to us today. The demons that run the world, they control the governments, they control the military, they control the media, they control the money, the economics, they control everything. There's no way materially to fight these people. The only way that such that their activities can be counteracted is by appealing to the help of the Lord. And in this age of Kali, the Lord, he comes in the form of his holy name, in the form of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The chanting of the Maha Mantra is the only solution to the problems of the world today, both materially and spiritually. As it says here, there is no other way, there is no other way that this world is going to be saved other than the chanting of the Maha Mantra. So, generally, in this world, people don't pay much attention to things unless the economy goes bad. If they have enough money in their pocket and they can enjoy, they're happy regardless of what else is going on. Now, throughout the world, there's economic crisis. As I travel around India and spoke to the people in India, that crisis has not yet reached your shores. But it will come here. It will come here for sure and certain. When people begin to complain about this economy, when they begin to say, how will we survive? Then you tell them the only way for material and spiritual success in this age is chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. What I've explained to you today is basically an introduction to my book. And this is the same conclusion that I come to in the book, that the only way we can save the situation, the very, very serious situation that we're in today, is through the holy names of the Lord. Prabhupada, he said, save all of them. He wasn't concerned simply to save a few people. He wanted to save the entire world. And he said, if you can't save all of them, save as many as you can. Prabhupada gave us a different way to live in this world. We are not meant to live according to the ways of the demons. This is an atheistic, demoniac culture. It's our business to create an alternative culture to give people shelter, just like this temple. All you devotees are here listening to Bhagavatam. You don't have to have a job. Why? Because somebody else is supporting you. Somebody else is out there working. They're coming, they're giving donations to the temple so that you can have your sadhana, learn about Krishna consciousness, and so on. But it comes at a cost to them. What we want to do is take this concept of a temple and expand it to the size of a village so that everybody, young people, old people, married people, children, can also have shelter there, can also attend a full morning program, and have very solid Krishna consciousness, very solid sadhana, and advance nicely in Krishna consciousness. We do not want to continue to sacrifice the Gahastha community to simply maintain our temples. We want to give them shelter also. And the only way to do that is in the way that Krishna arranged and gave to us, by expanding the temple to the size of a village. There, Krishna is the owner of everything. Everyone lives there by his grace. Everyone engages in their service for the satisfaction of the Lord and gives the result to others. This is what Prabhupada wanted to establish. So, it's a very serious situation that we have in the world today. Simply because the problem is not on our doorstep does not mean that there's a problem. The fact that other people in this world are suffering does not mean that we do not have a problem. This entire world has a very, very serious problem. is being led, controlled, and managed by demoniac personalities. So please, spread this chanting of Krishna consciousness. Spread this chanting of Hare Krishna. Spread Krishna consciousness with great vigor and help people understand that this world that we see today, this is not going to continue very long. People are making their plans for the future, that this world will be the same in 20, 50 years as it is now. This little economic crisis is only temporary. Very soon we'll be through that and out the other side, and things will go on the way they have in the past. This is not correct. In 1958, Prabhupada wrote in his Back to Godhead magazine that this culture, this civilization will not survive much more than 50 years. Time's up. It's not going to continue the way it is now. The only question is, what will take its place? If we can create a Hare Krishna revolution, a spiritual revolution where people take up the chanting of Hare Krishna as a solution to their material problems, then we can establish a wonderful spiritual culture in this world. This requires preaching, though. Because people, when they look at their material economic problem, they do not think that chanting Hare Krishna is the answer. It's not a 1 plus 1 equals 2 for them. It doesn't add up. Wait, let's see. I have an economic problem, therefore I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, and this is going to solve the problem? Yes. That's a fact. Because by this chanting, everyone's consciousness is raised. Everyone benefits by chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, it's considered the highest welfare work. So, all those demons who are engaged in destructive activities, it also raises their consciousness. And also those human beings who are in an awkward situation and have to cooperate with them, yes, it will also raise their consciousness. And that means they'll come to the point where they can no longer do that, where they can no longer sell out humanity. They can see it coming. They understand what's going on. But they don't know what else to do. What else to do is chant Hare Krishna. If enough people will take up the chanting of the holy names, the world can be saved. And that's the only way this world can be saved. So please, everyone, understand this situation. It's very serious. Do your part. Spread this Krishna consciousness. Distribute books. Encourage people to chant. And in this way, we can save the world. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Do we have time for any questions? Is there time?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhu, you were talking about Srila Prabhupada's instruction in terms of bringing about a change in his vision. So what I understand is around 40 years back, he very strongly gave his vision and demonstrated through various projects, cow-based projects also that he taken. Because we find today that even if somebody earns a crore of rupees in a city like Bombay, not even a glass of pure milk is available. Somebody, even if he earns a crore of rupees a month in Bombay or cities like this, a glass of pure milk is still not available. So probably Prabhupada knew about these situations very well and he gave us. Today the problem is that the way things are deteriorating, if we need to go back to the land and the cows, a few years later I don't think they'll be available as far as India is concerned, because the way the destruction is going on and the way people are taking over the lands and the cows are being destructed, probably a few years later they may not be available. At the same time, as you said, that all of a sudden the urban class cannot just jump into the villages. It cannot be done so, because it may be a misadventure, and I mean, it's going to take some time. So one of the ways to gradually change, is it not wise to sort of tie up with the people who are already into a cow-based farming, the traditional cow-based farming, learn from them the farming techniques,
yes,
have some barter system with them, and give them Harinam?
Yes.
So,
okay. The first thing is, Prabhupada intended to solve this problem completely. Okay, the first thing he intended to do was to recreate the Brahminical class of men, because the Brahminical class of men can recreate the rest of the Vanashram society. The Brahmin can create the Kshatriya, Vaishyas, and Sudras. There is no substitute for qualified devotees. So this is the first thing. We need qualified men. Qualified Brahmanas, qualified Kshatriyas, qualified Vaishyas, qualified Sudras. They can train others. And the role of the devotees is preaching. Not that the devotees should go and engage in farming. They can do that some. Some will do that for the sake of preaching. But most of the devotees need to understand the situation and preach. Leader means to show people what to do. Right? Doesn't mean that you will do yourself to the extent you have to for the sake of giving example. Devotees are meant to be leaders of society. People in modern society, they don't know how to solve the problems of life. Their thinking is limited by the concepts, by the materialistic concepts they've been given in their education. Those concepts do not include the solution to the problem. They can't understand the problem because they don't have the way of seeing it. Those who have understood Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada's teachings, they can understand the problem in all of its aspects, and therefore they can give the entire solution. So the devotees are meant to understand the problem, and then understanding it, show people the way. Just like we're going to read here, the sages, they needed to solve the problem. Okay, we have a bad king, get rid of him. Now what? Now we have another problem. There's no king. They have to solve that problem also. It's our same situation. We have bad leaders. Okay, how do we get rid of them? Chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said also, by Krishna's arrangement, they will fight each other. They will take care of each other. We don't have to worry. But then what? Then we still have to put something positive in its place. There must be a positive understanding of what to do. And Prabhupada, for that, he is given so many instructions to establish this Vanashram culture. Not for the devotees, but for the mass of people. So that they have a proper way to live, so that they can gradually become purified. Vanashram means social organization. Vana particularly means social organization. That's required. Now society is organized according to money. Okay, when money is finished, what's the organization going to be based on? There's nothing right now to take its place. And we have to put that something in its place. We have to. The devotees have to. Because nobody else can do it properly. Okay? Mataji?
Who are the devotees and who is the mass of people?
Who are the devotees?
And who are the mass of people?
Okay, well, who are the devotees? We can start with this group here. Those followers of Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, those are the devotees, when I say devotees. And the mass of people means those who are not familiar with Prabhupada's teachings.
But how will the mass of people agree to follow the devotees, unless they are devotees themselves?
People need leadership. Okay? And when there's, let's say if there's some little crisis, like some, maybe they I'll give you an example from America. We had an earthquake in San Francisco in 1987. I was there at the time. And because of that earthquake, all the traffic lights went out, and many buildings were damaged, and many fires were going on. So what happened was very spontaneously, some people, they did the necessary. They just went in the street and they started directing traffic so that the traffic could continue to go. Or they organized other people to help people who were injured and so on like that. The Kshatriya is a person, he will show up when the need arises because of his nature. But in order to be properly directed, in order to know what to do properly, he has to be directed by the Brahmanas. So Brahmana means those who are trained by Prabhupada. Those who have understanding what to do. Not theoretically, but actually practically. So, as I mentioned, there's no substitute for qualified men. We must have qualified Brahmanas, we must have qualified Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Sudras. Then, when we give an example what to do, people, without having any other choice, without knowing what else to do, they will naturally follow. People will follow when they see good leadership. Is that okay? Anything else?
Same what Mataji told. Don't you mean that the devotees, you are referring to the Brahmana community? Because unless and until, according to my understanding, Guruji, that unless and until we have all the devotees dead in the Varnashram system which we are talking about, unless and until in that community we include only those who are dedicated to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and dedicated to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, maybe they have a nature, like Kshatriya has a nature of being aggressive, but unless and until they understand the Vedic principles, they will do. If we include someone who doesn't understand these principles and is not submissive to this Brahmana community, they will boycott and they will again turn it into the modern culture.
Right. Exactly. That's correct. Just like in this temple. I was asking who's a devotee less than 1 year. Now the fact that they're a devotee doesn't mean they're immediately qualified to go and direct society. Of course not. I mean, when I say devotee in this sense, to direct society, means somebody who's qualified, somebody who understands what to do. Not just because you have Punti Mala and Tilak that you know somehow what to do. No. Must be qualified both spiritually and materially. Okay, so that's 9 o'clock. Does that mean I think we have to stop, yeah? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, please.